podcast 108, Thomas Torero, How to Sleep with 1,000 Girls. Or it should say, How to Sleep with 1,000 Girls Plus. And you're thinking, that's a clickbaity title. Well, no, because guys have done it, guys are doing it, guys will do it. This podcast is why they do it, and importantly, how they do it, because you're asking, can I do that? So we'll look at the mechanics of how to sleep with hundreds and then thousands of girls. First of all, some housekeeping. Tying up loose ends here in Ukraine my last few days. I like to think of it as tying up loose women. I call it closing the loop after the film Looper, where you've done your day game, you've done your dating, you've done first date, second date, third date here in Ukraine, and it's time for Netflix and chill. Then the following evening, Netflix and chill. Different girls, cooking them the Torero classic of cheap pasta with a ready mix pasta sauce. They bring the wine or they bring the ice cream. You put on a movie, bish bash bosh, let the chips fall where they may. And that's an important part of being a player, a full-time player. You accept, yes, no, maybe. You accept you can have winning streaks, so maybe I'll get 3, 4, 5 in a row. Or sometimes you get nothing, and that's just how the cookie crumbles. This podcast almost didn't happen, and I was in a panic yesterday in terms of the new book I'm writing and documents I hadn't saved on my laptop, because in a park, I left my laptop on a bench. That's only the second time ever I've left that laptop that you see in all my videos, the laptop on which I've written all my books and edited all my products and videos and podcasts. I was on a Skype call. I walked away thinking, fucking hell, something feels different. And as I hung up on Skype, there was nothing underneath my arm. And I was like losing a limb. It's like, fuck. So I ran around the park, looking on benches, looking at people if they were carrying my laptop. And then just as I was about to say, well, you know, shit happens, it's gone, you've lost some of those documents you stupidly didn't save, Tom. There was my laptop under the arm of an old park security guy on the radio at the gate. I don't speak Russian, he doesn't speak English. I'm pleading with him, he's like, no. Another park security guy comes, and then a local police officer comes, and then his chief or whatever comes in a battered police car. And they're all talking amongst themselves, basically saying, I think, let's keep the laptop or let's get money out of this guy. I'm waving my passport and I'm writing on Google Translate on my phone. Look, if you open up the laptop on the login screen, A, it says my name. B, I can show you the password to log in. And C, on my desktop is a scan of my passport, which I'm holding in my hand. So they had to kind of agree. But anyway, the funny end to the story is that I typed in my password and the screen popped up, but on the screen was a giant pair of titties. It was a paused video of a series called Hot Girls Wanted on Netflix, which I'm obviously only watching for research purposes for this podcast. But anyway, giant pair of titties. And it confirmed it was mine. Yep, I'm a pervert. And the guys chuckled. That's a good thing about Russia and Ukraine. Guys are guys, you know. And a nice pair of titties soothed everything. I shook their hands. I've still got my laptop. Halla fucking Luya. I wrote a blog post the other day. You can go and read it about blue balls and meeting a 17-year-old princess. That was a failed bounce back after a previous night of blue balls. Ah, the joys of the former Soviet Union. If you want to know more about day gaming in the former Soviet Union, here's the slick, sneaky upsell. Check out my new book on Lulu. Go to my blog, it's on there. It's called Cold Calling, Day Gaming in Russia, Ukraine, Belarus, Moldova, where else? Czech Republic, Poland. Logistics, maps, lay reports, failure stories. If you're interested in that kind of stuff, then it is out. If you want to watch me in field, 17 hours of Tom Torero in fields from A to Z, or A to Z, as you say in America, that's Stealth Seduction. Also on my website, tomtorero.com. Okay, enough of the cheesy upsell. How to sleep with 1,000 girls. You're thinking, tell us, Tom, tell us. Have you slept with 1,000 girls? No, I've slept with several hundred girls from Cold Approach Pickup, which is not bad for an ugly Welsh bloke in his late 30s with really not much money, really no possessions, not even owning a bicycle anymore, and whose only fame, quote unquote, is to a small number of guys on a small corner of the internet. All right, so it's not money game, it's not fame game, it's looks game, it's cold approach pickup. It's testimony to the power of day game. If I can sleep with several hundred girls, so can you. I hope to sleep with several hundred more between the age of 40 and 50. I'm 37 now. But we're looking at guys today who've slept with 1,000 plus. And they've not done it through cold approach. Maybe there's not even been a single cold approach pickup in there. These guys perhaps don't have an understanding of evolutionary biology and quote unquote red pill. They've not had to, which means, ironically, these guys get stung, these guys get married, these guys get chody when the funnel, when the stream is taken away. They go back to just being average chode, making all those same mistakes. They don't know why. So that's the irony of some of these guys that sleep with 1,000 plus girls. But it's still fascinating. Even though it's about fame game, money game, extreme power game, it's fascinating because as a guy, don't you lie. Don't you wag your puritanical finger at me. I know you want to sleep with thousands of young, hot, fertile girls. That's the purpose of life. If you want to give life a meaning, although it doesn't really, you know, it's just blind genetic replication, but that's your quote unquote purpose of being on planet Earth, to spread your genes, to shoot your load inside as many fertile, pretty, high value girls as possible to ensure your genetic replication. But there are guys that collect computer games or art or cars or watches or whatever, antiques. They go down to the train station and snap pictures of train plates. They're twitchers, i.e. bird watchers. And none of them are ever called mentally sick or addicts. But if you say you like hot girls, if you like sex, immediately you're shamed. Listen to last week's podcast. And it's the people wagging the finger. They have the dirtiest hand, yeah? Puritanical people, very religious people, very idealistic people, very moral people who are shaming you. This is bad. This is wrong. Monogamy's good. I would never do that. And you know, they're the guys watching porn. They're the guys with really fucked up sexual repressed fantasies that come out in really, really weird ways. So as I said last week, I just own it. Yeah, I'm a bit of a pervert. Yeah, I like sex. Yeah, I like younger women. Yeah, I'm a pickup artist. Does that make me a bad man with a nice fat grin on your face? Okay, now, men that have slept with 1,000 plus girls that you might have heard of. In the UK, perhaps in America as well, Russell Brand, the shagger of the year. People always call him a sex addict. He is, ironically, as I've said, quite blue pill in that he hasn't learned the harsh truths of evolutionary biology. He makes silly mistakes when the stream is stopped, but he's apparently slept with around 1,000 women. The reason he used to do his book signings wasn't to sign books, but it was to get a nice orderly queue of girls. On the fit ones, he'd give them an arm band, and those girls with the bands would be invited to a private house party, just him and his manager. He talks about this in his second book. And then they'd wake up the next morning, they'd be naked, there'd just be rooms full of naked girls. These were not just threesomes or foursomes, but these were moresomes and orgies and sex parties and great rock and fucking roll. And at least he used to own it until he met Katy Perry and went a bit political. But anyway, good old Russell Brand, 1,000 girls. Hugh Hefner, everybody quotes, even though he's married. Yeah, fame game, money game. But he says 1,000 to 2,000 girls. So we'll be talking about the pre-selection going on there, the age gap going on there. Peter Stringfellow, the British equivalent, he owns strip clubs in the UK. He says about 2,000. You see, I'm not doing too bloody bad, I always think. You know, for a guy like me who's doing cold approach and I'm into my few hundreds. And if you've got the fame and the power and the glory and the money of Russell Brand and you're at 1,000, God, if I could be Russell Brand for a day, I'd be a fucking rampant rabbit. I'd be cold approaching everything as Russell Brand, yeah, as Hugh Hefner. Anyway, better ones, Jack Nicholson, I've spoken about 2,000. Mick Jagger, 4,000, good lad, you know. God only knows about Keith Richards, but yeah, Mick Jagger, 4,000, I can believe. Gene Simmons, kinky Gene Simmons, Kiss frontman, he says somewhere between 4 and 5,000. Charlie Sheen, God love him, even though he's a little bit addicted to hookers like Hugh Grant, and he includes that in his stat. He says he's at somewhere around 5,000. I certainly do not include hookers paid for play in cold approach stats. But there you go, Charlie Sheen. He's got the cockiness, he's got the swagger, and he owns it as well. At least he owns it. One of the weirdest statistics from that NBA player, Wilt Chamberlain, is his number of 20,000 lays. That's really not physically possible. It's probably more, you know, 2,000, 4,000, 5,000. He loves sex. He was an NBA player. Good on him. But yeah, that's a classic number that people quote when they're talking about guys that get laid with thousands of girls. Someone you could believe is Fidel Castro, and his number is always quoted at around 30,000, 35,000. People always comment how he had a new girl for lunch and a new girl for dinner. And yeah, for all those guys, if you include threesomes, foursomes, moresomes, orgies, swingers, sex parties, you can increase your lay count. But for someone like Fidel Castro, it's more like sex slaves. Yeah, did those girls have a choice? Did they want to bang him? Or is it more like imperial harems of sultans, you know, or Aztec sex slaves, or today's Boko Haram, ISIS sex slaves? Yeah, as I've said before, a big purpose of war is not just invasion of territory, but sexual ownership of the girls in that territory. So we don't really want to focus on the imperial political harem stuff, more on those guys that have done it through swagger, with their fame, with their money, with today's social media, with power. They interest us. And the documentary I told you to watch last week is called John Casablancas, or just Casablancas, The Man Who Loved Women. It's on Netflix. I couldn't find it anywhere else. I tried, so I had to sign up for Netflix. And then, you know, you cancel your subscription, you get that free month. Watch the documentary, Casablancas, The Man Who Loved Women. It's a beautifully shot documentary. It's about memory. It's beautifully edited. It's narrated by him before he died. And the subject matter is obviously interesting to street hustlers, black sheep, any day gamer, any pickup guy, any bachelor. Yep, it was, fair play, told to me by a day gamer in Poland called Rob. He said, Tom, you're going to love this documentary. You got to watch it. And I did watch it, and I loved it. I told you to watch it last week, so I hope you did. If you didn't, either watch it, or from this podcast, you get the idea that John Casablancas was a playboy. He was a hedonist. He lived a life of excess in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Sadly, he died age 70 in 2013. But how did this guy sleep with thousands of girls? Some of them extremely hot. Certainly what society defines as hot. These were massive names, and he not just found these girls for his model agency, but he slept with them, and three of them he married. And the cat's out of the bag. There you go. That's how he did it. He formed Elite Model Management in 1972 in Paris. And before that, modeling was just prim and proper, and it was about the clothes and maybe about the photographer. It was a bit like architecture, you know, quite stiff. And Casablancas took stiff to a whole new level. He made it rock and roll. He made it punk. He came up with the idea of supermodel. So let's look at the girls' lives. Let's make the girls famous. Fuck the clothes. Let's make these girls celebrities. Let's keep it niche. Let's only employ 10 or 20 girls rather than hundreds. So pre-selection girls want to be in this agency. Let's define myself as the bad boy. He made them wear t-shirts saying property of John Casablancas. So this guy had game, right? Yeah, he got married. He perhaps never did a cold approach in his life. Interestingly, his son, by the way, is Julian. Julian Casablancas, you might know Julian as the lead singer of the band The Strokes. So good on Julian for having a rock and roll father. I hope Julian is swimming in the excesses of hedonism. John Casablancas' first wife was a Brazilian air hostess. So he lived with her in Rio and then Paris. That was before the modeling thing. And then through her, he realized you could make money out of a model agency. And more importantly, you could create harems and pre-selection and fuck hot women through founding a model agency and through going on his scouting missions. That's his cold approach funnel. You could say a bit like Russell Brand's book signing, where he would turn up in random cities around the world, casting girls, teenage girls, and taking their details, offering them jobs. People have accused him of, yeah, he was offering them drugs, he was offering them money. That's all tied up in this kind of game. So I'm not advocating it, I don't do it, but it's part of this game. But anyway, his second wife was Jeanette Christensen. I'm just looking at my notes because I can't remember all these names. Yeah, she was Miss Denmark, and he had a kid with her. Then he cheated on her. I think he slept with a 16-year-old model called Stephanie Seymour. That's when he was 41. And his third wife, another Brazilian, was called Aline. He was 50. She was 17. So it gave him access to all these beautiful women that you see in the documentary. He acted like a prick. He acted like a jerk. He acted like the bad boy. What a lethal combination, right? All these things came together. Women desired him, right? And when women desire a man, other women pick up on that. It helps them with the decision-making process. They don't need to be such a sleuth. They know this guy's high value because he's pre-selected by other women. And when you throw into that mix fame and money and power and all the other status things, yeah, what a life. What a life of access. And it's very easy to say, well, it's just about the money. The girls only slept with him because they wanted a better position. They wanted a better photo shoot. Or he was giving them drugs. Or he was just throwing money at them. So basically, it's just prostitution. That's what a lot of guys will say. Guys will say this is pure snake seduction. A bit like becoming a photographer or a DJ or lying to girls and saying you're going to be their couch surfing host. It's exactly the same criticism that people make against Dan Bilzerian, the current king of Instagram. They say, well, they're just whores. It's just about money. They just want Dan's money because he's a multi-millionaire poker player. Look up Dan Bilzerian. But cleverly, I think Bilzerian is doing what Casablancas did decades before. And he's just leveraging social media. So he gets girls to fight over him, and then he gets girls to come over and willingly offer themselves to him. So in the beginning, it might start out as a bit of snake seduction. I'm sure the Casablancas agency started out that way, but it has a snowball effect. And it's a form of hustling because it's a lot of fucking work. I have to go outside and cold approach. Those guys have to form businesses and empires to hope that one day this snowball will kick in. So cold approach is a lot of work. This kind of hustling is a lot of work. In a podcast before, I've said respect the hustle, because if you're going to devote your entire life to creating a model agency to fuck girls, that's a lot of fucking work. And give credit to Dan Bilzerian and give credit to John Casablancas, multi-million billion-dollar success stories, okay, where they're clearly doing something right. And it's so easy to criticize them. This triggers a lot of guys, especially the moral guys, the puritanical guys. This is wrong. And their triggered reaction is obviously to shame and to say, oh, I could do that. This is wrong, or this is just plain stupid. Yep. But as I've said, the disclaimer, both for Dan Bilzerian and for John Casablancas and many of those guys in that list I said, is that it doesn't mean they've learned the truths of red pill. Yep. When that supply chain stops, they can be clueless. So there are benefits to cold approach in that not only can you get a lot of sex with young hot girls, you learn how the world really works, because you're not relying on money or status or fame. It's just you, the shirt on your back. You go outside. Day game is no alcohol, no flashing lights, no pre-selection, no sports car, no posh shirt or watch. It's just you. So you really have to work out, what is attraction? What are women attracted to? And being part of the secret society, it opens your eyes. You can never go back. You see how married women behave. You see how library girls behave. You see how the girls with boyfriends behave. You see how girls behave at certain times of the month, ovulating. You see the meaning of flakes, and you see the meaning of token last minute resistance. All these things are red pill education on the ground. I made a video last week, boots on the ground, yet battle tested. That's the important thing. And these guys have, they're fighting different battles. So the truth sometimes stings, AKA the Russell Brand divorce from Katy Perry. Let's look a little bit deeper at what's going on. In podcast 75, I spoke about pre-selection. So if you want to know how this works in terms of women using other women's value judgment in their favor, listen to podcast 75. And getting girls to chase you, which is tied into that, I made a podcast on that called The Highest Form of Game, which was podcast 90. And both those podcasts look at female jealousy and why there's female bitchiness over rival competition and the law of least effort, right? So the one who seems to put in the least amount of effort is actually the most socially powerful. So desirability. And Casablancas, Bilzerian, the guys in that list, they all leverage that, yeah? It's girls that are making public displays of affection towards them, not the other way around. Yeah, this is why girls leave things in your apartment. They want ownership of you, which is clever because that triggers other girls to want you. The irony is with the chase thing is that when they win you, they lose interest. So a bit like the cat and the ball of string, the trick of Bilzerian or the trick of Casablancas is just to keep moving that ball of wool, that ball of string, create the chase cycle, girls come. But I'm sure once the girl slept with Casablancas or even married him, she loses interest. But that funnel, that mechanism plays on. Yeah. Now, the maxim that girls would say all the best men are taken is therefore true. Yeah, because if a man is already taken by a woman, then by definition, he's more desirable. It's like a VIP restaurant where you have to make a booking months in advance. It makes you want it more. I've said in Street Hustle, it's like that red carpet, the red rope outside a nightclub with a queue. That's why nightclubs pretend that it's busy inside and they have a pretend queue outside because it makes you want to go in. Yeah, it's why girls often like married guys. They are pre-selected. In Cinderella, you know, that prince is sought after by all the ladies of the kingdom, but it's Cinderella who gets him. Women love the chase. Women love this chase cycle. Podcast 75 and 90 tells you how to instigate it. And I scribbled down some song lyrics that I always think about from Flight Facilities. The song is called Crave You, and the girl in the song sings, "Why can't you want me like the other boys do? They stare at me while I stare at you. Why can't I keep you safe as my own? One moment I have you, the next you are gone." Key trait of the bad boy, yeah? Keeps girls on their toes, makes them chase. He's hot and then he's cold. He fractionates. He's got that pre-selection. And when a girl is chasing, that's her feeling of being in love. She wants what she can't have. Yeah, guys go, well, that only works on some types of girls. Only some types of girls are attracted to Russell Brand or Hugh Hefner. No. Again, that's the RK myth of good girls and bad girls. Pre-selection is pre-selection. Jealousy is jealousy. These switches are flipped in all women. I would say particularly church conservative women. Not just the Amy Winehouse character, you know, her quote unquote downfall of meeting that bad boy, what was he called, Blake Fielder, who all her songs are about, this pining for the bad boy. But anyway, another thing that I watched on Netflix, because I got that subscription, which links to this, is a show called Hot Girls Wanted Turned On, and it's a spin-off from the documentary I've already spoken about, Hot Girls Wanted. I spoke about that in Degen 3.0, why we need to look at pimp game, dark triad stuff, psychopathy, Machiavellianism, narcissism, why these explain the appeal of the bad boy. Anyway, I think it's episode 2. It's called Love Me Tinder of this show. If you can watch it, watch it. The irony is that it's a feminist show, written and directed by females. They're trying to make a point about female empowerment in the porn industry. But the whole series shows very, very, very red pill truths. And episode 2 is pretty dark. It's called Love Me Tinder, about a guy called James. He's an American, an ex Big Brother winner, I think. And now James is a marketing director in Las Vegas. He's in his late 30s, perhaps he's 40, and he pumps and dumps. Because of his fame and because of his connections and because of social media and now because of Tinder, and James is playing a bit of good looking guy game. He does well on Tinder. He's pre-selected as well, so he's a mini Dan Bilzerian, and he swipes right on okay-ish girls. I wasn't impressed with him in the documentary, but he's doing all right. And the girls fall in love with him. Again, James is not really red pill. He doesn't really know why he's doing what he does. So he makes the mistake of lying to them. He pretends to be their boyfriend. He goes on 3 or 4 dates with them, fucks them, and then deletes them. And in the documentary, you see girls pining for him, trying to get him back. And James just moves on and on and on and on. But the weird bit is at the end, the documentary makers, the program makers that are women, they get James to basically admit that casual sex is wrong and that he's doing something bad and that he should settle down with an older woman and do the right thing. And, you know, they almost make him cry on camera. That had to be the ending of the show, obviously, like the ending of every romantic comedy. But 99% of the show is so dark triad, because the worse he treats these girls that he's nexting, that he's ghosting, the more they're on him. And one of them, she's cute and she's really trying to meet up with him, and she's analyzing when he's online, why he's not replying, what does this word mean. It's a miniature version of that Casablancas or Bilzerian thing that I'm talking about. Yeah, pre-selection, jealousy, and why treat them mean to keep them keen works in a biological sense. A beautiful, beautiful portrayal of that. So with a few minutes to go, let's try and tie all those things together, because I was speaking very quickly because there's so much to speak about. I haven't really given you any practical tips in this podcast, because podcast 75 tries to do it, podcast 90 tries to do it, but really I'm just pointing these things out. Can a day gamer show a girl pre-selection? Can he make her jealous? Well, yeah, in different ways. And those other podcasts speak about that. Something a friend of mine is doing right now, he's trying an experiment where he cold approaches and he gets loads and loads of leads. And then instead of dating them one at a time and trying to sleep with them one at a time, what he's doing at the moment is organizing a party, giving it some random excuse, and inviting all the girls, as I used to do with Club Promo in London. You can read about that in my book, Day Game. I'd go out, get loads of numbers, invite them to a club, and then a promoter would take over from there, steal the girls. But yeah, it's a model. It's a mini version of Casablancas or Bilzerian or this James character. Let the girls fight over you. He's currently at the stage, I think, of organizing the first party. So I'll be interested to see how that works. Will it raise his value? Remember, value is relative. Will the women fight over him? Will he get the girl he wants? Is all that a lot more effort than just cold approaching and trying to bang them one by one? We shall see. But the theme underneath all of this is, you could say, dark triad, in that it's a bit nasty, it stings, it's bleak to some guys because it's certainly not virtuous. But girls love the bad boys. Girls love dangerous men. Girls love to chase. Girls love to cry over a guy. Girls love the jerk. They don't like the nice guy. Girls love the player, even when the player is blatant about it. Yeah, girls love what they can't have. That's one of the sickest ironies of life, you could say. When they get what they want, they don't like it. So when they get the bad boy and they try to tame him and marry him, like Katy Perry getting Russell Brand, she suddenly realizes she doesn't want him anymore, because what she loved about him was the jerk, arsehole player, shagger of the year, sex maniac. Yeah, it's a sick twist of fate, I would say. The player uses it in his favor, but God, that's rather depressing for the sweet, nice, virtuous, conservative, Christian, married, vanilla, nice guy. Yeah, women want to try to tame the wild, dangerous man. That's what turns them on, but when they get it, they lose attraction. So the ball of wool has to keep moving for the kitten to be interested. Yeah, when the kitten, as I said, gets the ball of wool, loses interest. So how can you apply that to your day game in a nutshell? You gotta be unpredictable. Yeah, be the nice bad boy, but be the cad, not the dad. Be the player. Be the alpha fucks, not the beta bucks. Be in the secret society. Own it. Tell girls that you're this character, or rather let them see it in your behavior and glimpses of it on your social media. Let them get jealous. Let them know that you're pre-selected by other women. This keeps the ball of wool moving, and you, my friend, can sleep with hundreds of younger, hotter girls. And maybe if you add in a little bit of fame game, or when you're older, a bit of status money game, you can get that into the thousands without having to pay Fidel Castro or an Aztec or Imperial Sultan and have sex slaves. There you go. Podcast 108, How to Sleep with 1,000 Girls. Speak to you next week. Ta-da.